Bibles, if you would, to the 130th Psalm, Psalms 130. In our Friday night services, we've been studying the book of Matthew, and we've come to chapter 5 where the Lord goes up onto the mount and teaches. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. And the first parts of that sermon in chapter 5, we have a list of attitudes that the Lord gives of those who are blessed of Him. Now, I want to be very clear for those of you who weren't here on Friday night. I want to be very clear to you of what we're talking about here. We're talking about blessings of God to His people. We're not talking about people who are blessed because they've done something that they think God wants them to do. We're talking about those who are blessed of God. Those who were chosen in Christ before the world was created. Those who are blessed in His Son, the Lord Jesus. In fact, let me just read that over in Ephesians for you real quick here. Some of you know these words already, but I just want to read this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Folks, all blessings. You know, I've had this discussion with others. Can we truly call the things that we think we are blessed of with this? I mean, we're blessed with a country of freedom right now. I mean, there's some countries in the world right now where there's some pretty nasty stuff. You think there's things going on in this country that are bad? Folks, this country, you could say of this world, we are blessed to live here. But is it a true blessing if we don't know the Lord? Is it truly a blessing to live in this United States of freedom if we go through that door marked death and we don't know who God is? There's two types of eternity. This world is but like a flower. I mean, we're all gonna bloom. I know my days bloomed a long time ago. We're all gonna bloom, grow up like a flower and sprout our petals, and then we're going to shrivel up. And we're going to die. You can't get away without it. Every one of us. That's tough to picture for young folks like you two or you. Very tough for you to see that. Not so tough for some of us older ones. Folks, there are two places that we're all going to end up in, one place or the other, for eternity. Heaven or hell. Our Lord, the Lord, the God of all creation, He who is so holy and so righteous, cannot look upon sinful man. His justice must be met. You know what the justice of sin is? The consequences of sin is? It's death. Eternal damnation. The first two Beatitudes that our Lord lists in that sermon. Well, let me just read it to make sure I get it correctly. Our Lord says, blessed. He says the word blessed first. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And the very next one he says, blessed are they that mourn. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Aren't you thankful he didn't say just poor? Poor in spirit. Those who have been given a knowledge of our spirit before God intercedes. Those who came into this world thinking, well, I'm okay. But God has come in the day of His love and shown you what you truly are before him. It's called sinfulness. Sinful. We're not sinners because we committed sin. We commit sin because we are sinners. That's just who we are. That's who we are when we come into this world. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, the world doesn't believe that. I didn't believe that for 40 years. And those of you who know that to be true in your heart right now know that there was a day when you didn't believe that either. We come into this world thinking a little bit mighty about ourselves, don't we? I'm not so bad. Look at that guy over there. He's bad. John Reeves, he did some stuff, but he didn't do anything like that guy over there. We come into this world not even knowing what we are before God. Not looking. Not even looking for the truth. Well, we look for something, don't we? Because we all know that there's a little bit of wrong in us. There's a little bit of sinfulness in us. Oh, I know, I lied. I lied some little white lies. I know that. So I gotta go and I'm gonna look for something that'll give me some forgiveness at least. It's something that fits my needs, something that fits my way of wanting things. The ways that I think are right. And that's how we come up with all these different religions. That's how there's all these different doctrines. Yet God tells us in his word that in the day of his love, he passes by a child for whom he will die for, or a child to whom he has died for, in their own blood and filth. And he says, live. And he reveals to them what they are before God. From that moment on, we spend the rest of our lives looking for forgiveness. A true child of God is in a consistent state of need for forgiveness. Because of the new spirit of righteousness that dwells within us, and that is the righteousness of Christ, not of the flesh, but of Christ. We see the depraved state of our flesh and we cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. We continually seek his forgiveness. David cried out this way in Psalms 51, verses 1 through 3. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Did you catch that? Not according to anything David had done. But according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. The Apostle Paul cries it out this way. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he answers his own question. I thank God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, the law of sin. Look here with me, if you would, at Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all iniquities. My favorite subject, folks, my favorite subject to preach on is this. There is forgiveness with thee. That's my only hope. I can't look to anything that I can do. I can't look to anything that is within this flesh, because this flesh is just like Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. You remember before the Lord called you out of darkness? Do you remember the days before the Lord showed you what we are? Walking around proud of yourself. You know, I thought things would get better if I got a little bit of religion. That's not the way it works. When God calls you out of that darkness, you see the truth of what you are and what you need. And then he shows you the truth of who he is and what he's done for you. He has cleansed his people from all their sin. Not just part, but all of their sin. Standing, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, what joy. You think, you know, we think just because we preach that this is our state of the flesh over here, like the publican pounding on our chest in tears, crying out, Lord, have mercy on me. You think that that's the way we're supposed to walk around all day during the week? No. Because God has shown us that we need mercy, we have someone to come to for mercy. And he gives us that mercy freely. In his grace. Oh, the Lord loves to pour his grace out upon his people. I pray the Lord will speak to our hearts this morning. The hearts of his loved ones this day, giving peace to a broken and contrite heart. May God once again assure you there is forgiveness with him. In verse 1, we read these, it says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. What are the depths that this man is talking about? He's talking about the heart. Out of the depths of my heart. That part that goes way down inside of you. That all of your thoughts wrap themselves around. That part which we call our soul, our inner being. The depths of who we are. Out of the depths I have cried unto thee. In the Word of God, the word heart is used as the seat of life, the seat of life, the strength. It means the mind, the soul, and the spirit. With that thought in mind, God has troubled my heart. Mark your spot here in Psalm 30. We're going to come back to it. I want you to turn over to the 38th Psalm. Psalm 38. Out of the depths I have cried unto thee, O Lord. Out of the depths of who I am, you have shown me the truth of what I am before you, God. I need mercy. Not just once, not just the first time I hear the gospel, but I need to hear the gospel all the time, because that's where mercy flows from. Over in Psalm 38, look with me if you would, at verse 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath. This is what I deserve, is his wrath. He says, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. God hates sin, folks. He hates it with a passion. What do you think What do you think going to hell is all about? What do you think about being damned in eternal damnation is all about? It's God's hatred for what we are. When Adam sinned, it threw every man, woman, and child to ever walk this earth into sin. You say, not me. Let me ask you something. Don't answer. But think about it. Speaking to you three right now. Who taught you to lie? Don't you tell me I've ever lied. I'm not telling you anything. I'm asking you who taught you to lie. I'll bet you your parents didn't. At least not knowingly. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. To puff yourself up. As one of pride is a sin against God. Verse 2. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. This is the work of God on the heart, the very depth that we cry out to God, saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. The Lord has to press that upon our hearts, our need for His Son, before He'll reveal His Son to us. Verse 3, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with the loathsome disease. There is no sound in my flesh. I am feeble, and sore, and broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Back in our text, in verse 2, we read these words, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Lord, I'm crying out for mercy because you've shown me the truth. I'm on my knees because there's no other place to be. I can't save myself. I have no power. I can't reach over for the medication that some men want to talk about because my arm is dead. I need you for everything. I need, Lord, you to save me. Hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication, our plea of mercy, our plea that God would be gracious to us. Listen to the voice. Listen to these other Psalms. For the sake of time, I'll just read them for you if you don't mind. Psalm 3, verse 4, he says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. In Psalms 118, verses 21 through 23, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone at the corner. This is the Lord's doing. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Again, mark your spot there and turn over to the 65th Psalm, Psalm 65. Look with me, if you would, at verses 2 through 5. O thou that hearest prayer, and unto thee shall all flesh come, iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Who is it that came? Who is it that comes to the Lord? It's them that thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are far off upon the sea. Back in our text, we read once again in this time, verse 3, if thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Only one who has been shown there is no righteousness within us would ask the Lord this question. If thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, if you're going to mark iniquities, who can stand? I can't. That's what that's saying, is I can't stand before you. If you're going to mark iniquities, I've got lots. In Job 13, verse 23, it says this, how many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Make me to know that I need a healer. Make me to know that I need a Savior. Do you need a Savior today? Or are you just okay? I'm all right. Oh, I pray that the Lord will make each and every one of us see how much we need. See, we can be blinded by things of the world just like that, can't we? I can walk out that door, go to my house, and sit down and start watching TV and completely forget about all that we're talking about right now. Yeah, you folks, you might be a little different. You might be better at remembering things than I am. Maybe you'll go and contemplate these things throughout the day. I need the Lord to cause me to need Him. You know why Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am? God had shown him. The Lord Jesus Christ had shown him his need. Turn over to Isaiah 53. Mark your place again there. We're coming back. Won't be much longer. Turn over to Isaiah 53. Most of you know these verses so good. You probably read them better than I could. Verse 3, we read, he is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. And then he gives us the gospel. What is the gospel? It's good news. Is it good news to the world? No. It's not, because man hates it when the Lord takes the power out of our hands and shows us it's always been His. But to the sinner, to those who need mercy, to those who need forgiveness, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Folks, the Lord Jesus is perfect. He's God in the flesh. Everything he did is full of every definition of the word righteousness. Perfect. Always pleasing to God the Father. This one who knew no sin was made sin that we, the chosen of God, those who he had written on his breastplate before the world was ever created, so that we would live in him. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Back in our text, Psalm 130. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Oh, the joy of that word. There is forgiveness with thee. In Isaiah 2, verse 10, we read these words, enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. Enter into the rock. You know who the rock is? You know who that's talking about? Catholics would like you to think that's talking about Peter. Because the Lord says, thou art name is Peter, which means rock. The Catholics have come to the conclusion that they're talking about Peter as being the rock of the church. The rock that God would build his church upon, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. That rock is what Peter said the Lord Jesus was. Thou art the Son of the living God. That's the rock. That's the only rock for us to stand on, leaning on the everlasting arms of the rock of all ages. Back in our text, Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Listen to the words of Matthew 4:4, but he answered and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. In his word do I hope. Now there's two things that can mean. And it's true about both. In John 1:1, we know what the word means, don't we? It means Jesus Christ and the word was made flesh. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. In his word. The Lord Jesus Christ. And folks, that's a great hope that'll never let anybody down. If God has given you the hope in himself, in the Savior, the Lord Jesus, it'll never let you down. Oh, you're going to have to go through times where you're thinking he's far from you. I'm not telling you that he won't. But in the end, he will not let you down. But it's also talking about this right here. This book, this inspired word of God, and it's all about his Son, the Lord Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. It's all about Jesus Christ and what he's done for his people. It's the word about him and what he has done for those that he has loved. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, sacrificed himself in death that we would live in him. We couldn't do it ourselves. Nothing you can do, nothing you can offer is good enough to God. He's perfect. Can you offer him perfection in anything? I should see a whole bunch of heads going, no. In Christ, though, we have it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Let me get through this, if you would. Psalm 130 again, verse 6. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch in the morning. More than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. You know what that's talking about? In those days, folks, you know, we have it made here. I mean, we're so blessed with electricity. You can stay up all night long if you want. You've got light. There was a time when people didn't have light all night long. When the sun went down, they went to bed. Oh, they had candles. You had those kinds of things. But they didn't burn all night. You had to make candles, folks. Burning, you'd be like gas, you know, in a gas shortage. I'm only going to use a little bit just to get to the store and back. Evening came early, and morning came slow. You'd lay in bed and wait till the sun started coming up a little bit more. Psalms 130, verse 7, let Israel hope. Did you catch that? Israel. Did it say, let the world hope? Let this be a